Matthew chapter 24. Since I'm not the pastor, I don't have to teach out of the book of 1 Corinthians and have that honor and privilege of teaching through all those wonderful different sections of people that we've been learning about, and praise the Lord for that. But man, I'm glad I don't have to teach that tonight, amen. But we're going to teach on something tonight I believe will be a help to you. And when I was praying, when I found out I was preaching tonight, I began praying and asked the Lord to show me. And as always, the Lord showed me what he wanted me to preach on, but he confirmed it. I love when the Lord sometimes will confirm things. And today as I was driving, I heard a song about what we were going to preach on tonight. And then just a while ago, one of the songs, one of the hymnals we sung, there's a great day coming. And so Matthew chapter 24, let's all stand please for reverence of the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read tonight verses 32 through 44. The Bible says this: "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless our Bible study tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises of your word. God, I'm so glad that you're coming back to get us off this earth, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help us to live every day in anticipation of this great event. God, may it affect everything we do, everything we say. Lord, the people we talk to. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts tonight as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, I'm sure you've, as we read the passage, that you figured out. But tonight we're going to do a Bible study on this topic. Are you rapture ready? Are you rapture ready? I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I love talking, I love reading, I love thinking about the rapture. And as I said in my prayer, folks, aren't you glad this earth is not the only thing we have to look forward to? And, you know, as Christians living in this wicked, sinful world, I'm so glad that God has promised us and has awaiting for us an eternity with Him. But until that day comes, there's some things the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be ready. And the rapture is just not an event to make sure that you're safe for, although you better be safe for it, amen? But it's also an event that, as Christians, it should challenge us every day to live our lives for the Lord. Every day to take every opportunity that we can to try to reach people for Jesus Christ. So the rapture is just not a topic for people that are lost, but it's also a topic for people that are saved. And I just want to look at a few things tonight. And before we get into this, I want you to understand where we're at on God's prophetic timeline. Up until this point, that's the next event that we're waiting for, is the rapture of the church. Nothing has to happen before the rapture to take place. There's no great sign that has to happen. Nothing has to happen in Israel before the rapture can happen. We're ready for the rapture at any moment, at any time. Now, of course, you know after the rapture what awaits. And many a times you hear Pastor Jerry say that when somebody gets saved, not only are they getting saved from hell, but it's a very good possibility they're also being saved from the tribulation period. Because we know after the rapture happens, immediately the great tribulation begins. The tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, years where Antichrist establishes rule. They sign peace, a peace treaty with the Jews. All that happens. Then right smack dab in the middle, the great tribulation begins. And God begins to pour out his judgment upon this earth, and for 3.5 years God will judge this earth. Now that's where we're at in this timeline. We're waiting for the rapture to happen. Now in the process of this, of course, the Bible says, we just read, that no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only knoweth. But he did not say that we should not be aware. In fact, as we read the first verses in chapter 24 here, the verse said, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." And I believe tonight that the rapture is at the doors. Amen. I pulled some news articles very recent news articles. In fact, these news articles are dated from yesterday, November 17th, 2009. And these come from a different sources, but I want to just read to you some headlines across the world. It says here, Iranian threat very grave for the world. Underscoring Israel's military might in the face of the Iranian threat, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned on Tuesday about the dangers of a nuclear Iran after visiting a submarine believed capable of firing nuclear missiles. Here's another news article entitled this, IAEA inspects nuclear research reactor in Syria. The UN Atomic Watchdog said on Tuesday it was inspecting a nuclear research reactor in Damascus because it had doubts about Syria's explanation as to how traces of uranium got there. In the latest report on Syria, circulated to member states on Monday, the International Atomic Energy Agency said that it found Damascus' international explanation unconvincing. What's happening here? We're finding out that the nations across Israel are arming for nuclear battle. And before that, you know, it's been denied. They're still denying it. But there's hard evidence that these countries that hate Israel have nuclear capabilities. And folks, we must not have our heads in the sand. Okay? This is going on all around us. Here's another news article. Here's the heading. Obama reaches out by naming devout Muslims to security post. You want to get your American blood boiling? Let me read this to you. U.S. President Barack Obama, man, I hate that. U.S. President Barack Obama continues to reach out to Muslims by appointing them to key security posts amid charges that he wrongly ignored internal Muslim terror. One recent appointee was harshly criticized for appearing on a British-based television station whose host is a member of a radical Muslim group. President Obama has continued to reach out to Muslims, as he said in his keynote speech in Cairo last June. And this past week, he swore in a Muslim rights advocate to the Homeland Security Advisory Council shortly after the Fort Hood massacre. What would have happened if that had been a Christian that would have done that? I'll tell you what would have happened. They would have opened season on all Christians. But no, because it was a Muslim, of course, because our president has Muslim roots, and they're reaching out. By the way, all playing into the end-time scenario. All playing out. Here's another article. By the way, like I said, these are yesterday's news articles. Yesterday, November 17th. Earthquake strikes off coast of British Columbia, Canada. A large 6.6 magnitude earthquake has struck the Queen Charlotte Islands region. The quake shook off the coast of British Columbia Tuesday, November 17th at 10 kilometer depth. Time of the event was recorded to be 7:30 Pacific Standard Time near the epicenter. What's the Bible say? There's going to be signs of earthquakes. That's one of the signs that Christ gave us. Here's another article. Turkey slams Israel again. Turkey once again sharply criticized Israel Monday. Turkish foreign minister said that Israel's threats to use violence and its military might will ensure that tension in the Middle East continues. Isn't it amazing? Israel's just trying to defend itself. But because Israel, everybody hates them, when they try to defend themselves, all these other countries are up in arms about that. Why? Because they can't stand them. They hate them because they're God's chosen people. It goes on to say this. It is Israel's policy that prevents... Now, notice this. It's Israeli policy that prevents any peace deal from coming about. Israeli policy. Once again, they're blaming it all on Israel. The Turkish minister also demanded that Israel refrain from sending security forces onto the Temple Mount and said his government was watching developments there closely. Why is this, folks? Because it's all playing down to the end. I have a few more here, and I have plenty. I'm not going to read them all. Well, let me read this one to you. You talk about close. Do some research on this, okay? Here's the title. The European Union foreign minister has impossible task ahead. Now listen to this article, and tell me if this is not where we're at today, playing to the end time scenario. The task of the proposed new EU foreign minister look relatively clear-cut and powerful on paper, but analysts and politicians in Brussels suggest a person will need to be superhuman to manage all that is foreseen under the Lisbon Treaty. Formerly known as the High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, the beefed-up position puts foreign policy clout and the financial means to implement it into the hands of one person. The EU's looking for a leader. Folks, I'm telling you, we are at the door. The signs are there. Come on, folks, get your head out of the sand. Yes, sir. Okay? I believe Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming soon. By the way, these aren't necessarily Christian articles. These are just articles across the world. And I got plenty more here, but I think you get the picture. Okay? I think you get the picture. Every day something's happening to indicate the fact that Jesus Christ is soon to return. Now, let's turn back to the Bible. And I gave you some secular sources here, but of course, our authority from where we understand this is the Word of God. Let me give you five things tonight that will, about the rapture, just five quick things that we can look at and examine and we can apply to our lives. Number one is this: the rapture is a real event. The rapture is a real event. I know Hollywood, that already they're making movies. There's a new movie that just came out. I've seen the advertisements to it about 2012 Doomsday. About the end of the world happening in 2012. Okay? Hey, if Hollywood's picked up on the fact that the world's going to end, I think we as Christians shouldn't have our heads in the sand about it. Okay? Now, of course, their whole thing is not even biblically based. But the fact of the matter is that people know that something big is about to happen. There's no way this world can continue on the collision course that it is without something that's going to give. Okay? The rapture is a real event. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Notice the terminology here. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice that word, so shall. So shall. That means, folks, it's going to happen. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn over there real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. I know some of these are familiar verses, but Christians, we need to be familiar with these. We need to keep this in front of us. We need to see this quite regularly. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8, the Bible says this: But beloved, that's speaking to Christians, be not ignorant of this one thing. The one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us for it, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is why I believe God has not sent Christ to return for us yet. Why? Because God is not slack. He wants all men to be saved. God's extending His mercy. God's extending His long-suffering. Hey, I'm glad. Hey, aren't you glad? I mean, I'm ready for the rapture, but aren't you glad it didn't happen 2 weeks ago? Look at the people that we've seen saved in the last couple weeks. You know, that's the long-suffering of God. But folks, one of these days that long suffering is going to run out. Let's read verse 10 here. Notice here, but. Notice how the verse starts. But even though God's long suffering, even though God doesn't want anyone to perish, but there will be a day to where that ends. But the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. May I say to us Christians, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works there are therein shall be burned up. Hey folks, I believe in global warming. The Bible says right here, global warming. Oh, it's going to get awful warm. Global warming right here, it's in the Bible. This is a real event. This is a real event. I know Christ has delayed His coming. I know what the scoffers say. I know what the world says. But the day of the Lord will come. We need to always be looking for it. So this is a real event. Number two is this: it will happen very fast and most people will not expect it. It'll happen very fast and most people will not expect it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to use our Bibles tonight, amen? That's a Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read to you two verses here. This verse, when I was a kid, this verse used to hang on the nursery door. I don't think exactly that's the context of it, but it made for a cute nursery verse. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Amen? And we shall not all sleep. That's speaking of the fact that there's going to be a generation who does not see death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Notice here, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet, notice here, shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. It will happen very fast, and most people will not expect it. That's why, folks, you better be ready now. because when it happens, you will not have time to be ready. Hey, that lost neighbor that the Holy Spirit's been pricking your heart out to go visit. Hey, that lost family member that maybe if the Lord tarries and you see this Thanksgiving and see this Christmas, you better witness to them. You better take the time when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Why? Because guess what? After the rapture happens, there will not be any more opportunities. I know we say that. I know that in head knowledge we know that, but I'm wondering if in our heart we really believe that. I look at my own life. I look at all the opportunities where maybe I don't pass out of track, or maybe I don't witness to somebody that the Lord brings across my path. Folks, we must look for every opportunity the Lord gives us. Why? Because it's going to happen, and most people won't expect it. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love these passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I know this is nothing you've never heard before, but folks, we must be reminded of this. We must think about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read verses 1 through 9. The Bible says this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now once again, anytime you see in the Bible it being referred to as a thief in the night, it's speaking of the rapture. Because that's how the rapture is going to happen, as a thief in the night. Okay, the rapture and the second coming are two different events. The second coming is when Jesus Christ actually comes to this earth. And the Bible says that day that he'll be seen in the clouds. Okay, completely different event. So when you see a thief in the night, it's referring to the rapture here. Okay, verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety. Sound familiar? Peace and safety? Let's all make peace. What's all this whole thing going on with Israel? This trying to find this new leader for the EU. Why? So there can be peace established. All kinds of people are getting involved in this. For when they shall say peace and safety, notice here, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Okay, can you liken? You see the illustration God gives us? As a woman in travail with child, okay? Those of you who have babies, by the way, a lot of us around here, amen, okay? Guess what? You know what that's talking about. All of a sudden, the labor pains start. And before you know it, you know that baby's coming soon. You don't know the exact second it's coming, but you know when the labor pains start, ladies, it's coming soon. That's what he's speaking of here. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now God says, look, you're not going to know the day and the hour, but it should not overtake you as a thief. That means that you should expect it. That means that it shouldn't take you by surprise. That means that just as the thief, you don't know when he's coming. Hey, that means that you're prepared for it. I think many of you, we told you this, but the day after my grandpa died, someone tried breaking in his house to steal his medicine or whatever else they thought they could get to. And because of that, we were there ready, waiting on him. We purposely, for the week after that, we stayed there with armed, loaded guns, amen, loaded guns. And we didn't have baseball bats, we had loaded guns. Why? Because we knew the thief could possibly come. We were ready, we were waiting on him. Okay, and that's what God's saying here. Look, you know it's going to happen, but it shouldn't overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Hey, this verse is written to Christians. Do you know there are Christians that are spiritually asleep? God says, look, don't be spiritually asleep. Let us watch. That word sober, it means to be serious-minded. It's not speaking of not being drunk with alcohol. It's being talking about being serious-minded. God says, look, when it comes to this event, you ought to be ready. You ought to be watching. You ought to be serious-minded as a Christian about it. Hey, folks, that's why we say the Christian life is not a game. We're not playing a game around here. Why? Because God says, be sober. That day's coming. Watch. Be ready. Let's read the next verse, verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. But they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. Praise the Lord for verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I can't believe people would want to believe that the Christians are going to go through the tribulation period. So many people believe that. Okay? But I believe verse 9 is the fact, is one of the evidences that we're not going to be here for that. God has not appointed Christians to wrath. Amen? God's going to take us out of here to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we said, number one, this is a real event. Number two, it will happen very fast, and most people will not expect it. Number three is this. It could happen at any moment. It could happen at any moment. Back to Matthew chapter 24. Verse 42 through 44, what we read a while ago. Notice what Jesus says here. Notice the warning he gives. Watch therefore. Okay? Christ specifically says, look, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in which and watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. Be ye ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I love that verse. Such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Be ye therefore ready. Now, I think that speaks of a lot of things. Number one, you better make sure you're saved, amen? But I don't think it's just talking about that. I think as Christians, our lives ought to be ready. You know, I would hate to be doing something that I'd be ashamed of when Jesus Christ came. You know, I'd hate to think as a Christian I was at a place I shouldn't be when the rapture happens. I would hate to think as a Christian I would be watching something on TV that I shouldn't be watching when the rapture happens. I would hate to think as a Christian I'd be listening to something I shouldn't be listening to when the rapture happens. Hey, we got to be ready, folks. This ought to affect our day. Hey, this ought to affect the way we live. This ought to affect everything we see, everything we do. This ought to affect our lives. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Every single day, this should affect our lives. Let me ask you an honest question. What will you be doing when Jesus comes? What will you be doing? I hope maybe that the Lord will allow me to maybe be preaching, maybe be teaching the young people, maybe be out sowing, maybe be out praying. I don't know. All I know is I want to make sure every single day I'm doing the thing that I ought to do. Hey, you know what? That's why it's dangerous to let your guard down, folks. Because the day that you let your guard down could be the day it happens. Could be the day it happens. Number four is this. Once again, I know these are basic principles. I know you know this. But we need to be reminded of these things. Number four, when it happens, when the rapture happens, you will either be taken or left behind. You'll be taken or left behind. Those are the only two options, folks. Look with me here in verse 40 and 41. Once again, Jesus gives us an illustration. Okay, notice what it says here. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. In another passage, the Bible says, then two shall be sleeping in a bed. One shall be taken, the other left. Hey, you know what Christ does here? He gives illustrations that cover every time of the day. Because, hey, it's a different time all across the world. Why it's day here, it's night someplace else. Why it's night here, it's day someplace else. He encompasses any activity that could be going on. And notice what it says here. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. You know, I just wonder this. And I've heard somebody else say this before, but man, this is a good thought. I wonder when those two that are taken, that are working, I wonder if that one that... one that was taken, I wonder if they ever witnessed to that one that was left working. I wonder if they ever spent time talking to their co-workers about the fact of Jesus Christ, about the fact of the rapture. Hey, God gives that illustration for a reason. Two shall be taken, or two shall be working, one will be taken, the other left. Okay, the saved, of course, will be taken to meet Christ and the heir to go to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, can you wait for that day? Okay, talk about telling gravity goodbye. I mean, even some of you who are afraid to fly, you ain't going to be afraid to fly that day. Okay, the Bible says that we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, man, I can't wait till the day I lose my gravitation. That'll be awesome. And then, of course, down here for the next 7 years while the tribulation happens on earth, there's going to be some things going on in heaven. Of course, the Bible likens the rapture to the marriage. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ is the bride. And we're a spouse to him. We're waiting for the day that he comes to take the bride to be with him. If you understand Jewish custom at all, study that sometime. Study how the Jewish marriage worked. You know, of course, back then they arranged the marriages. Praise the Lord, we don't do that now, amen. But back then, that's what they did. Hey, you know what? The father knew, only the father was the one who sent the son to get the bride. That's why the Bible says, be ready, for you know not what hour he doth come. Hey, guess what? The bride didn't know exactly when the bridegroom was coming, but she knew that it was about time for him to come. And the father is the one that sent the bridegroom to get the bride, and the bridegroom went to get the bride and bring her back to the father to present her to the father. And if you understand that, you study that out, folks, that's why God likens the rapture to a marriage. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Listen to this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's us. That's the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. As we are raptured to heaven, while the down on earth, the tribulation period is going on, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, that's going to be awesome. I don't know what kind of food's going to be in heaven, but I guarantee you this, it's going to be good, and you don't have to worry about gaining weight there, amen? We're going to have that glorified body, praise the Lord. And the marriage supper of the Lamb, what a celebration time. I don't think it's a coincidence that when Christians get together, one of the things they like to do is get together and eat and fellowship. Amen? Hey, that's ordained from the Lord. Hey, there's going to be a supper, a great supper one of these days. And we're going to be there if you're saved. We're going to be gathered around for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not only that, the Bible tells us about the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. That also will take place in heaven during the 7-year tribulation time on earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, God doesn't believe in collectivism. You know what? When it comes to standing before God, there's going to be no collective body there. You will individually stand before the Lord to give an account of your stewardship individually. I told our teens this week, hey, teenager, guess what? Mom and dad won't be there. Hey, guess what? Youth group won't be there. Hey, guess what? Church isn't going to be there to stand before God with you. You alone will face the Lord, and you will give an account for your stewardship to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And notice here, it's not necessarily a bad thing, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. God says, look, you're going to be rewarded based upon the things that you have done. Done. Not the things that you intended to do. Not the things that you thought one day you'd get around to do. The things that you have done. That's why it's important to be busy for the Lord now. That's why it's busy to do things for the Lord. Hey, I know we don't do things to gain salvation, but once we get saved, God wants us to do things. God wants us to live for Him. Hey, faith without works is dead, according to the book of James. Okay? And that's what we're talking about here, the judgment seat of Christ. At this judgment, Christians are not judged for their sin, but are judged according to their stewardship. Listen to me, folks. It does matter how you live your life on earth. It does matter. It does matter. Okay? Now, I know we're not perfect. Okay? Testify right here. Amen? And my hands up. None of us are perfect. But perfection is never what God expects. But God does expect Christian growth. God does expect us to live for Him. There are certain things God does expect. Why? Because it matters how we live our life on this earth. Hey, folks, it does matter. It really does matter whether or not you read your Bible and walk with God tomorrow morning. That does matter. Hey, it really does matter whether or not you hand out a gospel tract or witness to someone tomorrow. Hey, folks, that really does matter. Hey, husbands, it really does matter how we treat our wives. Hey, wives, it really does matter how you treat your husbands. Why? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear there. All that will be happening in heaven while the tribulation is going on earth. Praise the Lord for that. And of course, we understand about the tribulation period. Let me just give you one verse on that. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, the Bible says this, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Great tribulation. Hey, there's been some bad things happen on this earth. We could go chronicle through history and see some horrible things that have happened. But according to that verse right there, nothing will even touch, come close to comparing to what the great tribulation is going to be like. Please, folks, make sure you're saved. Please make sure anybody you come in contact with, you get a witness to, you talk to them. Why? Because of the great tribulation. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 says this, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God will redeem Israel through this time." But man, what a terrible, horrible time it will be. Not only that, but you will not have another chance to be saved if you've already heard the gospel once the rapture happens. You will not have another chance to hear to be saved once the rapture happens if you've heard the gospel. Now, there are people saved after the tribulation period, and God will send his witnesses upon this earth. The whole earth will be saturated with the gospel and give people opportunity who's never heard before to be saved. But if you have heard before, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, listen to this passage of Scripture, "And then shall that wicked be revealed," talking about Antichrist, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Man, I love it. There at the beginning, God just tells exactly what's going to happen at the end. Yeah, Antichrist is going to rule, but man, I love what God says. God's going to consume him with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. But there's some more verses we need to read. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now listen to this. "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." You know what, folks? All those people who've heard the gospel before the rapture, they'll believe the lie. They'll believe the lie. They'll be deceived by Antichrist. And that grieves me. How many times have I been out soul winning and knocked on doors? You start talking to people and they just blow you off like it's not a big deal. "Oh, I don't want to have anything to do with it." I had a guy tell me the other day, "You know what? I'm fine. Oh, I'll be all right. I'm fine. No, I'm not worried about it. I'm fine." And this is what he told me. He says, "Well, if you believe that way about God, but you see, the way I believe about God is how it's going to be for me." So deceived. People like that, folks, will enter the great tribulation and will not have a chance to be saved. So that's why we must reach them now. That's why we must reach them now. And then last of all, number five, I'm almost finished, is this. Now is the time to do what needs to be done. Now is the time to do what needs to be done. John chapter 9, verse 4 says this. Jesus was speaking here. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." Why? "Because the night cometh when no man can work." I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let me say this right now, folks. It's still daytime. Praise the Lord for that. It's still day. Grace has still been extended. Anyone who calls upon the Lord right now can be saved. But may I say this? Night's coming. Night is coming. Night's coming. And I'll tell you right now, I believe it's almost here. I believe it's almost here. You go back to the parable of the 10 virgins. The Bible says, "And at midnight, the bridegroom came and invited those into the marriage supper." Thus, we have the analogy of the clock nearing midnight. Folks, it's almost there. I believe that. Night is coming. Now is the time to do what needs to be done. Matthew chapter 25, just one page over. Let me just read to you a couple more verses here. The Bible says this, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They were foolish that took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Doesn't that sound like the church today? While the bridegroom tarried. Hey, you know what? The bridegroom's tarrying right now. He's not here yet. What happened to the virgins here? They slept. Even the wise that brought oil who were saved, they slept. They were asleep. Folks, as Christians, wake up. Let's be awake. Let's not spiritually be asleep. Let's read on here. Verse 6. "And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Hey, that's a picture of the rapture. "And at midnight the cry went forth. The bridegroom cometh. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." Even sad to say, hey, if this isn't a picture of eternal security, I don't know what is. Even the ones who were asleep were still welcomed to the wedding. I'm glad for that. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 7. Then also arose the virgins and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye there rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Just as God shut the door on the ark, and no one was permitted to enter after God shut the door, after the rapture, the door will be shut. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. How come at this time after the door shut, they wanted to go in then? They were ready then, but guess what? It was too late. It was too late. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. What a sad verse. I know you not. And you know what? There was no need. There was no need for them not to know him. They were there. They should have been ready. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man come. Folks, listen to me. Now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to make sure other people are saved. Now is the time to be right with God. Now is the time. Hey, if there were things in my life that shouldn't be there, I wouldn't wait till Sunday to get them right. The rapture could happen before then. I would hit this altar tonight and make sure I got things right with God in my life. Hey, if you don't know for sure you're saved, who cares what people think about you? Hey, why? Because night's coming. The door's going to be shut. Make sure you're right with Him. Make sure you're saved. Make sure that your life is right with Him. Why? Because you know not what hour the Son of Man cometh. Let's finish off tonight. I want to read to you two more verses. Turn with you in your Bible back to Revelation chapter 22. What a fitting way to end on this note. Revelation chapter 22. Let me give you some hope, folks. I know many of you are facing hard times. I know many of you are... There's a lot of discouraging things that the Lord has, that the Lord's using to work in your life through. I mean, me and Pastor Jerry were talking the other day, and every year we say this, usually at the watch night service, aren't you glad you don't know what the previous or the next year holds? Man, 2009 was a whopper, wasn't it? A lot of things happened. We lost some of our dear folks in our church. We faced a lot of other things that have been hard to go through. But let me encourage you with these last two verses. Revelation chapter 22, look with me in verse 12. This is Jesus Christ here. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And behold, I come quickly. May I say this? He's coming quickly. Hey, if he said he was coming quickly 2,000 years ago, guess what? He's even coming quickly now. Behold, I come quickly. Notice here, and my reward is with me. Folks, it's worth serving God. It's worth it, folks. It is. I know sometimes you get discouraged. I know sometimes you want to throw in the towel. But guess what? Don't. Why? Because His reward is with Him. His reward is with Him to give to every man according as his work shall be. Once again, look what the reward's based upon. It's based upon your work. That's what the reward's based upon. And then Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Let's look over here. This is John saying this here. The verse about Christ. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. In John's last prayer, the last prayer in the Bible, Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. You ever find yourself praying that prayer? Even so come, Lord Jesus. What a great prayer to pray. Folks, listen to me. I know the rapture is not a new doctrine around here. I know you hear about it. But listen to me. I'm more interested in all of us not just being hearers of the word, but being doers. Let me ask you a question. As I asked a while ago, how does it affect your everyday living? I know up here we know the rapture is going to happen, but how does it affect everyday living? Hey, how does it affect the person you work next to? How does it affect that neighbor that you know is lost? How does it affect the way we treat one another? Okay, that's what God wants us to do. Live every day in anticipation, every single moment. Why? Because as the verse said here, He cometh quickly. And you know not what hour the Son of Man doth come. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you've done, Lord. I thank you for this doctrine of the rapture, the fact that, Lord, you're going to take us out of here. Lord, I thank you that You are coming. Your reward's with you. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the atheists say, Lord. All I know is your word says you're coming, Lord. We can take that for what it is, Lord. It's going to happen. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live our lives, Lord, like we anticipate the rapture. Lord, we may not have an opportunity to meet back here on Sunday. This could be it, Lord. And I pray that if that's the case, God, we'd be ready. Lord, help us every day to be looking for your coming. Lord, whether you come this year, next year, 5 years, 10 years from now, Lord, help us every day to be ready. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God, help us to be busy for you. God, help us to reach more people for you. Thank you for the man that was saved today. God, help us to continue to reach lost people for you, God, and for us as Christians to live better for you. I pray, Lord, that if there's a work that needs to be done tonight in the heart of someone through this invitation, that you do so and speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's